Somehow I misplaced an hour, but it's the news, according to me. Oh, good. It is Monday morning. Monday morning. I have, it's not Monday at all. It's just Monday. And that's what it is. The 10th of Monday, it's March, the 10th of Monday. Yeah, I probably need some more chai. I probably should just start. I haven't even taken a sip of this stuff yet. Yes, that's much better. It is Monday, March 10th, 7:52, according to my body clock, but it's Eastern Standard Time. It is 8:52 because we sprung forward an hour, and I think I pulled something when I was springing forward. A couple brain cells, I think I pulled. So in the meantime, we are looking at, it's 2025, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that or not, just in case you wonder what year it is, because, you know, some people might just be waking up. We have, hopefully, everybody's waking up. That's the whole purpose of this show, is to wake you up, by the way. That's kind of the, or to keep you awake, or what, something, I don't know. I don't even know myself. I'm not even awake, so I don't know. I am in Raleigh, Durham. I don't know. Raleigh's one town and Durham is another one, Durham. And I don't know which one's which, and I don't know where I am exactly. I'm not sure which town I'm in right at the moment. Probably not in either one of them. I'm out in the middle of nowhere here. There is a Cracker Barrel close by, which is always helpful, but I will be here today and I will be here tomorrow. And then I will be back in my, my cozy little home studio on Thursday, or I'm sorry, Wednesday and Thursday. And I'll be, even on Friday, I'll be on my home studio. Well, yeah, unless it's the international headquarters. But I digress. Let's move on with some other topics. You know, I happen to be listening to Mark Dice today, and this is really sticking in my craw, and I really want to talk about it because it is something I think it's worth talking about. Because there is a lot more manipulation that goes on within media and within some of the YouTube influencers, especially some of the more conniving ones, some of the ones that really get their, that have really made it. I guess there's a serious amount of money to be made on YouTube. I didn't realize this was some of these people are making, like, even people who aren't that well known. Now, if you get a few thousand views on every video and you're putting one out every couple of days, or every day or whatever, it's a sizable income. I didn't realize how much some of these people are making. Just relatively doing it. You know, I've thought about doing, there's a couple of other different kinds of YouTube videos I thought about putting out, like a couple of channels, different subjects. I'm all over the place when it comes to different subjects, and you wouldn't know that by listening to this show because I'm, you know, so focused and laser beam focused on a topic, as you probably already figured out in the first 2 minutes. The thing I have a problem with YouTube about is that they can shadow ban you. I have been shadow banned on YouTube for a long time. Now, I just started this podcast, and of course, I have 930 episodes, I think, or something like that, 920 some episodes total. And it's been going for several years. Actually, it's been going for almost 4 years, come to think of it, almost 5 years. The podcast itself has been, almost 5 years now. However, I started a YouTube channel under this same name even before that, and I did some news YouTube commentary stuff long ago, just, you know, random stuff every other day or something. I would do something. It was just a quick video, just me droning on, and I would occasionally play some video clips and that kind of thing, I started building a following, and it was during the Trump administration, I think, is when it really started becoming noticeable. But right before the Trump election, it was during that time I was kind of getting politically involved. I think it was 2016. And what I noticed was that all of a sudden, the growth stopped. I stopped getting an increase in subscribers, in views, that kind of thing started going down. And there was a couple, of them that had, you know, 1,000 people had watched them, and it was starting to grow. And all of a sudden it started going down. Well, then it got down to the point where and I had about 45 subscribers at one point. And it just stayed there. It stayed at 45. Wouldn't go up, wouldn't go down. And then all of a sudden it started going down. Views started going down. And then I had videos where zero people listened. And this went on for a while, where I would get one or two. No, never more than two. For weeks, this went on. And I finally just kind of gave up on it. Well, then that's when it came out about the whole shadow banning thing. And of course, this was long after I kind of shut down and kind of gave up on it. I just thought, well, nobody's interested in this at all, or it's not hitting the algorithm. I don't know what I'm doing. That the SEO is not right, or some whatever it is. And then come to find out, of course, the whole thing with the shadow banning thing started coming out, and it really blew apart when Matt Taibbi, whatever his name is. When he came into the process, that's when it got really noticeable. The whole Twitter thing, that whole process, people finally, you know, when Elon Musk took over Twitter, that's when it really became noticeable. Now, by the way, my cup today has my home chai. It's the good stuff. I still have a little bit of big train chai left in my in my bag here. I've got about one more cup, which will be tomorrow morning. And then I have my good old backup bottle of water. Of course, Chick-fil-A was closed yesterday. I had Chick-fil-A Saturday. I just had some sweet tea from Saturday. And that carried me through until yesterday morning, and I couldn't find any Chick-fil-A. I was actually in D.C. yesterday. Of course, Chick-fil-A was closed. I could not find a restaurant that had brewed sweet tea. This didn't happen. So I was kind of hanging with just drinking water, which is probably good for me. Probably, maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's not, I don't know. So there you go, catch you up on something. Now, the reason I talk about this, the reason I have this on my mind is the other day, and I thought this was kind of odd, and it's interesting that Mark Dice, of all people, all of a sudden came up with he just had a show this morning on this whole thing with Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro is a well-connected, I would call Ben Shapiro an establishment Republican. He is very much a part of the establishment, very much in line with everything the establishment goes with, and he's actually very influential within the, within the Republican establishment. Very well connected. I think he was sitting in the booth for the president's address to Congress. He was sitting in the booth with Speaker Johnson. So this is a guy who is well connected, has influence. And soon after I think it was right after the speech, or maybe it was before the speech, Ben Shapiro is now on this campaign, has even established this website. And when this happened, it seemed a little odd to me. Now, I don't normally listen to Ben. I will listen to some of his, I used to listen to Andrew Klavan a lot, and Andrew Klavan, after the election, really turned me off. He said some things about the election, and he just thought, oh, I just think 20 million people showed up to vote for, you know, against Trump. That's what happened. There wasn't any cheating, wasn't anything there. Just 20 million people showed up to vote against Trump. And then with the whole thing with Candace Owens, Klavan said some things that I'm sorry. That was just it for me. I can't stand the guy. Very intelligent man. Don't get me wrong. Very intelligent, very entertaining, has a very sophisticated sense of humor. But no, not going to go there. Michael Knowles, on the other hand, has walked a pretty good tightrope over there. I still listen to his stuff. I listen to his shorts. I listen to some, occasionally I listen to his show. He seems to be walking the line pretty well over there. He's not necessarily he's a believer. I would say more of an Orthodox. I call it Orthodox. It's just like he's like a Lutheran or Catholic or whatever he is. He's one of them. One of them Lutherans or Catholics or he's more of a traditional. I would say establishment religion type guy, not a free range evangelical like some of us are. He, but he'd be considered evangelical, but it's still he's more of a traditional religion. He ended up he was able to skirt past a lot of the issues that were going on. Now another guy that I listened to is. I can't think of his name right now. He's been more popular, been a little bit more out there with some. He's made some movies. What is his name? The bearded one. We'll just call him the bearded one. I can't even think of his name right now. That really bugs me. I'm going to be thinking about it the whole time now. I'll think of it at some point. We had he's done. I think the movie What Is a Woman, and some other things he's done. He's just kind of been more. A little bit more out there involved in those kinds of things. So he has done well as on the network as well. And I've listened to him quite a bit. Ben Shapiro, I just never been able to really stand Ben in the way he talks. He's a very fast talker. He was in a debating thing and he only sees his side of it. He's very good at convincing himself of things as well. But at the same time, he gets on a particular, I think he's very narrow-minded, I guess would be the way to put it. He has a hard time. He's not like a Joe Rogan who can sit back and listen to someone else talk even when they're wrong and then start asking questions and just, formulate the question. Let them talk themselves into a hole and then start asking them questions. good probing questions rather than he just likes to talk over everybody and just slam you down with. Feelings don't care about your facts. Or facts don't care about your feelings, I think is however it is. And so that's, to some extent, that's good to have someone who's that grounded in the truth. However, he's not necessarily always grounded in the truth, and sometimes his methods and means, just like what happened with Candace Owens, tends to be a little bit, nefarious. And one of the things that he's done, and he came out with this campaign. Now, Ben Shapiro is a legal, I think he passed the bar. I think he was a lawyer. He came out with this campaign to go against the established idea that Eric Chauvin, the guy who was arrested, the famous guy who had supposedly had his knee on the neck of George Floyd, never did have his knee on the neck of George Floyd, he had his knee on the shoulder blade of George Floyd. It was the camera angle. And of course, the autopsy itself, the official autopsy, says he didn't die of, well, he died of asphyxiation, but it was because of a lethal dose of fentanyl. And that's because it causes that. It causes you to hyperventilate. You can't breathe. It causes your chest to... I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a physician. I'm not a financial counselor, nor am I a lawyer or a doctor. I'm just saying, I watch a lot of YouTube. That's what I do. So I have this this weird thing. It just seemed kind of almost uncomfortable and awkward that Ben Shapiro all of a sudden was taking on the issue of Chauvin being in prison. He's pushing for Donald Trump to give Chauvin a pardon. Now, Ben Shapiro knows that, because he's a lawyer, that the reason Chauvin is in prison is not because of federal charges. He's in prison because of the state charges. President Trump cannot pardon him for state charges. Only the governor can do that. So why is he not asking the governor of Minnesota to pardon Chauvin? And Mark Dice goes into this a little bit and analyzes it a little bit. I think it is even more nefarious than Mark says it is. Personally, I think that there's a deeper manipulation here going on. Now, Mark ties it to his website. He says that when you go to pardonericchauvin.com or pardonchauvin.com or whatever it is, Derek Chauvin. Pardonchauvin.com or whatever it is. It takes you to Ben Shapiro's website, of course, and there's a place where you can sign a petition, you can give money. There's all kinds of things there, and it also, you know, has his merch shop there as well. So Mark Dice is pinning this all on that. Now, he's just trying to raise his raise his support because he has lost a lot of support and a lot of numbers. Now Jeremy Boren is kind of the director behind everything, and there's been a lot of controversy about him kicking Aunt Candace Owens off his network. He also kicked, I believe it was, who was the other guy? Louder with Crowder, Stephen Crowder, kicked him off as well. And that became a big blowing up thing. And I don't think Crowder handled that very well, but even though it was kind of a raw deal, but he still didn't handle it very well. And so now we have, they've lost a lot of credibility. They've lost a lot of numbers. A lot of people stopped listening to him. Now, I think this is an attempt to get some people back on. He's going to start this campaign out of the blue. Just, you know, why would he do that? What's his interest in the Chauvin case? He's making it sound like Trump can just let the guy out of jail. Now, what's happening here is he's playing both sides of the stream here. He's playing the adversaries. He knows that this is a politically polarizing event, that this would be, that this, it's a subject as far as the subject goes, and that most people on the right, most conservatives would say Chauvin was railroaded. It was a kangaroo court. You know, whether he was a bad guy or not, he was trying to do his job, and this guy didn't die from. Now, whether or not Chauvin didn't get medical attention there soon enough, what was the reasons the medical attention didn't show up soon enough? All those kinds of things, those can be debatable. That's up for debate. Whether or not Chauvin called when he should have, whether the first responders were responsible for not getting there, if there was something else going on, if they had a hard time getting there, whatever it was. But that's all a whole different other story. That's, and again, that's not something that they can necessarily be held accountable to, because they are in a position where they do have some immunity to some of those things. So, if an ambulance gets stuck in traffic or has an accident on the way to a scene, you can't sue them for not getting there in time. It's just, you can't do that. now, if they're negligent in their job or they're doing something like that, then it starts to become more of an issue. But they stop off for a cheeseburger on their way to, you know, you call them because you're having a heart attack or something, that's a whole other story. But the main thing right now is that all of a sudden he has come up with this campaign. And my question was, that seems a little bit off the wall here. I haven't paid enough attention to Ben and his show to know what's going on with him. So I didn't know for sure if this was part of a continuation of a topic that he's been talking about or something he's been doing in the past. This was just out of the blue for me. I hadn't known he was even interested in that case at all, other than to say, you know, say some commentary here and there. Now, keep in mind, initially, and Mark Dice does an awesome job of blowing this out of the water. He brings the receipts. He brings Ben Shapiro's statements right after, you know, he was out of the country at the time, came back, and of course, the country was on fire because everybody was worshiping George Floyd and honoring George Floyd by breaking into buildings everywhere, looting and taking television sets and doing all those kinds of things. And that's because that's, you know, what you do when you honor someone, when you're upset with someone. So you burn down your city. That's the best thing to do. That way the stores move out, and then you can blame them on racism. They have So he came back and made all these comments, and he made it very clear that he thought that these guys should be prosecuted to the fullest of the law, and the police officers were bad police officers, and without even hearing the trial, I guess, or something. I don't know. It's he just made up his mind there. And now all of a sudden he thinks that Derek Chauvin should go free. So it just seemed kind of odd to me. And so this is one of the cases. Now I think there's something more, maybe almost sinister, or maybe they haven't vocalized it too much within their little internal meetings. But I bet someplace along the line they said, you know, and this also might have the residual. Not only can we increase our traffic, but we might also be able to increase. It might have a side effect that if Trump doesn't pardon him, it will hurt his reputation among conservatives. Maybe by making an issue out of this, kind of throwing it in his face, putting it out there for, you know, to making this an issue, that all of a sudden, of course, if we do make it an issue, he takes the bait and he pardons the guy, and he's still in prison because all he's going to pardon him for are some civil rights violations, and which don't amount to anything, really. There are some charges there, and it just added to his sentence, but it's not going to get him out of prison. Trump cannot get him out of prison. So this has a twofold effect. One is Shapiro doesn't have to worry about having a campaign that sets someone free in any way, because it's not going to happen. But he can make Trump look bad by, one, having Trump, and he knows that it will inflame some people by pardoning Chauvin. There will be some people be very upset by that. It will increase the racial divide, because those who are bought into this whole thing that, you know, I can't breathe, the whole thing, that whole thing is, you know, Chauvin wasn't anywhere near him when he was saying he couldn't breathe. That was because of the effects of the drugs, that I understand it. So this whole thing is a gnarly mess. I don't think Trump's going to take the bait on this. However, if he does, if he just comes out and says, you know, I'm gonna pardon him for the civil rights violations, but I'm not gonna, you know, that's not gonna get him out of prison. If Trump can make it very clear as to what he's doing, I think that he, you know, if he can communicate it very clearly. Now, that Trump, communication is not one of Trump's strong suits, in my opinion. I don't think he is the great communicator. I think that there are other people in his administration that are awesome at communicating, which has been interesting because. Well, I'll save that for another day. Just the whole communication thing and the way some people talk in the administration. I've noticed a trend among some of the people in the administration, the way they speak. Now, that being said, Trump could also not pardon him and just ignore the whole thing. And Ben Shapiro would be up against a wall that I think would garner some political push, some angst towards the president. I think it's more what Ben is trying to do, is trying to get some people to just kind of push back against this guy and not to be so, you know, enamored with him, and to kind of form a mild opposition party so that he can maintain, because he's got deep roots into the establishment Republican Party. He doesn't want to see the establishment get wiped out, so he wants the establishment to come back at the end of Trump's administration, because that's where he's got all of his ties. He has deep roots there, deeper influence there than anywhere else, and I think that's most people in the Trump movement, the MAGA movement, don't necessarily embrace Ben Shapiro that much. So it's and mostly because of what he's done to other people. It's just, it's not anything to do with his religion, has nothing to do with his race or anything else. It's just about the way he has done business. That's the way it is for me anyway. And I just don't like the way he talks. He's very smart, very intelligent, very, and a little bit overly articulate in some ways, because he is, he just talks over people. I don't know that he's a very good listener. So that's the difference between him and Joe Rogan. And that's what really impresses me with Joe Rogan, his ability to do an interview and just let somebody talk and let them get their point out before he interrupts them, before he drives into, you know, but I mean, he'll push back on somebody, but he's very careful about that. He's very pointed in his observations and his ability to do that. That's why he's successful. That's why he's been successful, because he allows the discourse to happen. And even, you know, he even conceded to interviewing Trump, which I think was a testimony to that, his ability to have an open mind and be willing to talk about difficult subjects. Everything from dragons to this one, I think it was Joy Reid, said something about Joe Rogan. He believes in dragons. He believes in dragons. Well, he had somebody on his show who was talking about dinosaurs and how the dinosaurs were still alive at some point. There were dinosaurs alive at the time. And the dragon slaying that happened, the term dinosaur, by the way, did not come about until like the 1900s. So back in the days of the kings of England and the 1500s, the 1600s, even in that realm, back into the earlier times, there was all this stuff about, I think it was I can't think of the king's name now. He killed a dragon. They had even had like sketches of this dragon within the castle, one of the kingdoms, it was partly, whatever they call it, the line of kings. And he it talked about this dragon that he killed. He was a dragon slayer. He killed a couple dragons. The dragons were known to be around the area. Well, what they called dragons were probably large reptiles, probably more like a dinosaur. We don't call them dinosaurs back in the 1500s. We didn't call them dinosaurs back then. They were just known as dragons. Now, this whole fire-breathing thing and all that. Now, we're not talking about dragons that, you know, and there, of course, there's the whole dragons that fly and all that kind of stuff. Interesting that all this stuff is kind of depicted in cartoons anyway. And yet there were, it's just interesting the way they have pieced together some of the things that these skeletons and that kind of thing that they have found. And the it's just very, I think history is very different than what we're being told. It's what I'm saying. And I don't think that the powers that be, the consensus of history is necessarily always correct, because they try to mold it into and fit it into their little timeline. You know, it used to be they thought the Earth was possibly a million years old. That was a big deal when they thought. I still remember as a child, I was probably 5 years old, when there was a magazine of some kind that came out. On the magazine cover, something like Newsweek or something like that, on the cover said, "Could the Earth be a million years old? What if the Earth is a million years old?" Well, now they're telling us it's billions of years old. And the reason that they have had to keep increasing the number of years of its age is because in order to have life evolve from an amoeba, they realize it's going to take a lot more time. Unfortunately, because of DNA, they're finding that, oh, well, an amoeba doesn't contain all the DNA that it's required to have a human being. DNA does not increase. There's not going to be another species formed from another animal or from a human being that becomes an evolved human being or takes a major leap in genetic material. It's not going to happen. all the genetic material that is in humans now has been in humans. You know, you can trace it back. We've lost DNA. We haven't gained any DNA. I'm not a DNAist, but that much I know. So, with all this stuff going on, with the I'm getting back to the Ben Shapiro thing. I think that there's more manipulation. Now, Ben's not the only one who does this. There are other influencers out there who have inside tracks to certain political pundits, to political parties, political people who affect politics in some, to some degree. And so in the midst of all of this, I think that it's important for us to recognize that we really don't you don't see on the surface some of the things that are going on underneath, the dark underbelly of everything that happens. Some of these influencers that have come to, that were part of the whole Pam Bondi thing recently, for instance, they were invited to the White House to receive the Epstein files, supposedly, which turned out to be a joke. I'm concerned that Pam Bondi might just be a fraud. I still haven't made up my mind on her at all. I'm glad that she's there. And why is it that we have such a hard time getting an AG that is actually able to do anything? The first one that Trump appointed, what was the guy's name? He was a former senator or something. Put the guy in as AG. Turned out to be caught between, he was an establishment Republican and kind of got caught between being a party to the establishment. Ended up going to, I think he'd resigned kind of ineffectively. He was ineffective in what he was doing. Then we had the next AG, I think it was Bill Barr, or somebody was in there, maybe temporarily. There was a temporary AG for a moment, and then Bill Barr stepped in. Bill Barr was a total establishment guy, Trump hater. He was brought in basically to bring some stability and some common sense and to protect people from the president. And that's Bill did a to some degree did help kind of quash some of the attacks on the president, the political attacks, however, or legal attacks. He didn't stop the lawfare that was going on. It was all boiling up underneath. Never really quashed any of that at all. He kind of kept it at bay, but didn't go to the point where he should have. And of course, as soon as Merrick Garland got in there, the man with the chip on his shoulder because he didn't get to be a Supreme Court justice, just started taking it out on everybody. So now, all of a sudden, strangely enough, he was there all 4 years, wasn't he? All 4 years he was in there. We had two or three during the Trump administration the first time. Pam Bondi now steps in. And why can we not get some things, you know, why do we have nobody who's really totally competent to step in there? And of course, Miss Release the Kraken lady, she would have probably been up for that job if she had come through with the Kraken. There was no Kraken. I think she was smoking Kraken. Her credibility kind of fell through the roof at that point, or through the floor. I don't know, but whatever. It fell through something. And so there's a whole lot more manipulation and just positioning and stuff going on behind the scenes. Now, this being President Trump's second term and him having this intermission of 4 years has almost enabled him to repower. And people, everybody keeps making this point that, you know, if he'd had a second term, there would not have been people like Elon Musk, Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy. These people would not have been in his administration if he had been gone right into a second term. This is a very different Trump administration than the first Trump administration. For one, he doesn't care. He's as far as politically, he's just going to do what's right. He's going to get things done because he only has one term. In fact, he might only have 2 years. if he doesn't get some things accomplished, he's got basically 1 year to get things accomplished because we're going to be into the midterms and he's got to get this stuff accomplished before the 2026 midterms, at least before the elections. And hopefully nothing, you know, weird happens before then. He's got to maintain the Congress. He's got to maintain the Senate. He's got to make some inroads there because, and here's the biggest reason, is because of impeachment. They will impeach him in the second term of Congress in 2024. I should say the second half of his term, of Trump's term. They'll try to impeach him again. They're already trying to do it already. They tried to do it for the first 2 weeks. Al Green introduced impeachment. This kind of bitter hatred kind of stuff. I think people are really sick and tired. There are people that are just livid. There are Democrats now that are livid with the Democrat Party, and they're leaving the Democrat Party. I think there was some kind of emergency meeting held recently with Schumer and some others. This was soon after the fallout from the presidential address and the way the Democrats acted during that time. Not standing for that young man that had cancer. They shot themselves in the foot on this one, I think. They were convinced we're not standing for anything. We're not clapping for anything. We are completely, it was a protest. And this was organized by the powers that be there because it's a fascist dictatorship there. So they, if you don't stand lockstep with the rest of them, you're going to be kicked out. And they all did, mostly for the most part. And many of them were disgusted by that. So I think they're going to eat their own at some point. And their derangement syndrome is on display for everyone to see now. And I think Trump hopefully can play that, play them like a fiddle in the middle of all that. Well, folks, thank you I hope you have a great week. Looks like the temperature is going to start coming back up again in the northern areas, which is nice. Things are melting. And have some pleasant days ahead of us, some nice spring days. The bugs and bugs are coming back. Great. But in the meantime, God bless. Have a great rest of your week. Take care, and I will talk to you tomorrow.